Hey, hey, welcome to Beyond the Couch. I'm Dr. Christine Jehu, a coffee-obsessed licensed psychologist on a mission to break the stigma of mental health and normalize help-seeking. In this show, we leave the psychobabble at the door to speak openly about our growth and struggles. Together, we will challenge the status quo, stop living below our potential, and dive deep into self-exploration of all areas of our health and wellness, because all roads lead back to our mental health. A quick caveat, this show is not mental health treatment and is not intended to be a substitute for mental health treatment. In the show notes, you can grab the free quick start guide to finding a therapist, along with crisis resources should you need them. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Beyond the Couch. It is Hot Takes. Yeah. So Dr. Kelly Sugar, not Rudolph anymore, but will always be Rudolph in my phone, is back with us. And we are kicking off Mental Health Awareness Month. May is always Mental Health Awareness Month. So a little bit about what is coming on the podcast this month. We are going to do 2 episodes a week because I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. I'm trying not to say crazy anymore, right? Because of mental health. But I really want motivated
for Mental Health Awareness Month.
There you go. Thank you for that reframe, Dr. Sugar. I'm just going to keep calling you that. Yeah. So what we're going to do this month is do some spotlights. So we've got a spotlight on athlete mental health. We've got a spotlight on queer mental health. We're bringing back the mental health heroes stories. So we've got a couple of my friends who have been gracious enough to share their mental health experiences with us. And a couple of open slots that we'll just see what comes up as the month goes along. But I'm excited to particularly bring the mental health heroes stories back and to infuse them more throughout the year, because I truly believe that stories can save and change lives. So we're doing that.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for this month. Yes. Not really for you, but everyone else who gets to benefit.
Not for me and all the editing and the, like, this is legitimately a one human operation over here. Okay. So every month, I just knocked my microphone over. Every month, there's at least one, if not like 20 different things that we can raise awareness about that has like an official awareness month situation going on. And so I wanted us to talk a little bit about why awareness months matter. And I did a little search on the internet to see what other people are saying. And an article from Healthline had this really great quote that I wanted to share. And they said that one of the biggest tools that we have to fight health conditions is the power of human connection. That's why awareness months, weeks, and days are so important. They rally us together to spread awareness and show support. So I just thought that, I mean, literally wraps it all up, especially when we're talking about mental health and it's still such a taboo and untalked about topic and is largely invisible, right? It's an invisible pain and injury that we navigate through. And it's really hard for people who haven't experienced even diagnosable depression or anxiety, right? We've all had like a bad mood or been a bit anxious about something, but that persistent experience, it's hard for people to grasp what life is like with that if they've not had it. And so that's why this awareness matters, right? To share our stories, because they help us form connection. And for those who are out there who are navigating mental health and who are truly suffering, I don't always like to say suffering, because just because somebody is diagnosed, I don't believe that they're suffering, right? But there are some who are truly in that suffering state. Mm-hmm. It helps them feel less alone, right? And that's where I think we have the power to save lives when we share our stories and bring in that human connection. I mean, I love that. Like, it's the power of human connection when we can band together and create change. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, what you said about if people who haven't experienced any kind of mental health issues, it's really hard for them to understand something they haven't experienced. And so I think people sharing what it feels like for them and their stories kind of you know, open other people's eyes as to what this looks like, what it feels like, and also the persistence, I think, of a lot of mental health issues. Because like you said, everyone gets a little depressed or anxious sometimes. It's totally normal. We're human. Yeah. But, you know, if you have a really diagnosable, you know, mental illness, it's very different than, you know, having a little anxiety when you have to give a big talk or something like that. So I think it's really helpful, one, to not only feel alone because other people can certainly identify with your experience, but two, to educate other people who may not really get it.
Definitely. Definitely. So we're going to dive in this Hot Takes episode on how you can engage with Mental Health Awareness Month. We'll give some tips about for engaging others in conversation about mental health, and then how we can continue to support mental health and mental health awareness over the other 11 months of the year. And then like how to find a therapist at the end. So why don't you kick us off with some ways that we can intentionally engage in Mental Health Awareness Month?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start. So social media is a great resource, and there are so many really awesome, creators out there. I don't know what you call, people in the mental health field who are kind of sharing tips and tricks. And, the Real Dr. J. Hugh is one of those people that you can look at, you know, her posts and share them, repost. And it also helps kind of spread the word too of, you know, things that can be helpful, like coping strategies or anything that just shines a light into the mental health world from a mental health professional. So that's a really great place to start. And another, so we were just talking about like storytelling and highlighting heroes, but if you are someone who has some, you know, mental health diagnosis, then sharing your story either on social media or with friends or family. So it can be really difficult because, like we talked about, sometimes it's taboo. It is, you know, something that people can't see. Sometimes people don't understand. So it can be really uncomfortable to talk about your experience, but it can also be really powerful for both you and other people who are listening. And it's a great way to connect with other people, you know, to not feel alone. And a lot of what we do too as mental health providers is normalizing that, like, you're not alone and you're not the only one with this experience. And we have these tools that can help you and these, you know, evidence-based things that we can talk about and that, you know, we can work on together. So I think, you know, social media is great in a lot of ways to spread the word, you know, about things that are important to you, but also just talking to people face-to-face is a great way too. And if you have the means, you know, donating money to causes that you support or that you align with their, their values, their mission statement. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, donating either time or money. So there's so many mental health organizations and they sometimes have really cool events. So some mental health organizations have walks or they do events like that where people actually get together. I'm sure there's also virtual events now that you can probably participate from the comfort of your home. And that helps you to connect with people, spread more awareness, and possibly generate some donations. Because a lot of these groups or foundations, you know, provide support for research in these areas or just things in your community. So if it's like a community kind of organization, then that money might be going right back to your community as well. So there's a lot of great options on there. And Dr. Google is probably the best place to start. if you're looking for things either in your area or on a national scale, there's just so many out there. And there's a lot of really great ones out there. Do you have any that are ones that you really like?
That's a really great question. I was pulling up some different organizations this morning. There's the National Alliance of Mental Illness, mm-hmm. Mental Health America, and then obviously the American Psychological Association is going to have more of like, some good advocacy information and more knowledge versus those other two who are probably going to be doing like the walks and things like that. But I was also even thinking about, it may not be a specific like mental health community center, but you could think about domestic violence shelters, right? And the links to mental health and ways that you could offer your time or resources, or even some of the shelters will take different clothing or household items. So you could give them a call or check their websites to see if there is a way, you know, if you're doing some spring cleaning and you've got a bunch of clothes, especially they will often take clothing for women, like dress clothes for job interviews, right? Because mm-hmm. oftentimes domestic violence folks are like having to go in and rebuild a career. And so those are some great ways to donate. Just donate in general.
Yeah. I think I've also heard too, if you have any like personal hygiene, you know, extra mm-hmm. supplies like that, or even barely used makeup, you can donate those things too. Oh, so if you got something and you were like, this doesn't really work for me, there are some places that also take some of those. So instead of just tossing them out, it might be a good idea to look and see if that's a donatable item. So that's great. And like there's, I mean, you know, mental health is very general. So it goes beyond just anxiety and depression, but you know, there's people with substance use issues, and there's a lot of centers for substance use that are willing to take donations or volunteers. So it's good to just kind of check out what's available either in your area or, you know, internationally.
Yeah. And even prisons, right? Because there's a lot of times that folks end up incarcerated because of unmanaged, mental health concerns, and they're oftentimes those higher level needs. So they're not able to get their medication or, you know, have a psychotic break and end up in a situation where they are incarcerated. So offering volunteering at prisons, or there's actually like prisons will take like books and educational materials. So those are things to look into too.
And if you have any kind of, you know, skill set or profession that, you know, people might want or need. Like, I think, like accounting, you know, it's something that you wouldn't normally think of as like, oh, I could donate my time to help like with this center with XYZ, or I think especially like IT or marketing. Yeah. So there are a lot of great ways that you can donate either your time, your money, or your things. Yeah. So just some things to think about. So another recommendation is to check in on your local city or state mental health legislation and, you know, see if there's anything you can do in those areas. I think this is huge. So advocating, you know, for legislation that supports mental health, and, you know, and that could be like the local level, the state level, or even the national level, depending on, you know, what matters to you. But there's a huge need for that, and a need for people to share their voice and to speak up so that things can change on a legislative level. And that's super general, but we could, again, do like a whole episode.
I know, we could do a whole episode on all of these bullet points.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So this is just kind of like a quick and dirty, like, hey, if this interests you, look into this area. Yeah. This is something that is really needed and can be really helpful in the long run. Certainly something too, that's not going to facilitate change quickly. So it also has to be kind of a time investment and an effort investment as well.
Yes.
And then let's see, we also, the last thing we were thinking about is reaching out to your state psych association. So every state has their own psychological association, and that is the board that psychologists go through in order to be approved to practice in your respective state. So every state has its own, every state also has its own requirements of what you need to have to even qualify and sit for the state exam. and then also continue to practice with your continuing education. So every state has a different requirement. So it's actually super interesting if you're not a psychologist to look into it. They also manage mental health providers at different levels, right? So at master level providers as well. And I probably know less about that because I just know about the state that, you know, I'm operating in, because that's the state I'm licensed in. But reaching out to them and asking if there's any way that you can support them or get involved with the organization is great, because a lot of times I know in my state, everyone on the board is a volunteer, so they don't get paid, which also is hard because a lot of them are practicing, are working people. So they're essentially have, you know, multiple jobs, but are not getting paid for approving competent providers and managing, you know, ethics concerns and things like that. So they're likely in need of some support.
I think that most states too will have a like general member of the public on their board. And so if it's something that you're really interested in, like serving, that's something to look into as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I know in North Carolina, they have one kind of like lay person, like non mental health person on the board. Yeah. So yes, absolutely. And then that wasn't the last thing, I lied. So checking in on the people around you, and especially those with really high stress professions. So those would be people like first responders, teachers, you know, mental health providers. They also need to be checked in on as well. Mm-hmm. And I'll also say too, just any kind of helping profession. So that I think especially, you know, thinking about the context of, you know, COVID and having to deal with that and the stress that is put on everyone. Mm-hmm. It definitely seems like people in helping professions are helping people, you know, especially, you know, mental health providers are helping guide people through this collective stress or trauma, but are also going through it themselves. Yes. So this is very uncharted territory for everyone, even the mental health providers who are trying to help people navigate this. So, you know, checking in on friends, family is really important. And especially again, thinking about those higher stress jobs where there's kind of, you know, high stakes all the time or constant things to worry about. So, and you know, a lot of those professions that I named are also really underpaid. So the burnout in all of those professions are really high as well. Yeah. So they tend to be kind of underpaid, underappreciated, but do really important work that is needed in, you know, in our society. So especially checking in on those people, they might need a little extra TLC sometimes.
Yes. Awesome. And so one of the other ways to engage not only this month, but also all months of the year is having conversations around mental health. And I think we have such a fast-paced society right now, right? And it's easy to send a text message or open a text message and not respond. And there's so many things distracting us. And so I just really want to encourage everyone to create time and space to truly check in with others. And if you can do it in person, all the more better. If you can do it with a voice memo, so tone can be felt, or if you're on like Marco Polo and you can do like the video text kind of deals. Do you know about that?
No, Marco what Polo? Is Marco Polo?
Yeah, Marco Polo is this cool app that you can that you could just do like a video. It's kind of like Snapchat, but you don't, it doesn't have a like 30 second limit or 1 minute or whatever it is.
Disappear like Snapchat?
Huh?
Does it disappear like Snapchat or?
It does not.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Marco Polo. It's an app.
Marco Polo. Yeah. And it's free.
This is what happens when I'm not in a college counseling center. I like not up to date with all the cool things that are going on.
Yeah. So really create that time and go beyond the basic, like, how are you, right? You could say, how are you really, right? Or if you get somebody who gives the same response all the time, but it's not matching up to the rest of their presentation, to say, no, like I truly care and I want to hear, right? Because oftentimes I've heard this a lot from our athletes recently, that it can be really hard to, if you're the one hurting, to initiate the conversation with somebody else for fear of burdening them or that sort of thing. So for us to open up a true invitation of how are you and creating time and space, like go get coffee, go get a smoothie, go for a walk, and open up these conversations is really, really important. And that goes into, right, sometimes the conversations can be easier if we're engaging in an activity together. So going for a walk, having dinner, cooking dinner, you know, just anything that's doing yard work. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you would invite somebody over to do yard work. I need to pot some plants today. So yeah, arts and crafts, those sort of things. You could go axe throwing. I want to go axe throwing so bad, or, you know, safely axe throwing. And, you know, I will often encourage people to make a list of all of the folks in your life that you want to be intentional about maintaining contact with, and write it in your planner of who you're going to reach out to that week. That might feel, I don't know, maybe a little bit sterile to you, but it's also one of those things that can help you get into the rhythm of connecting with your people. And then let's say you have 3 people in a week, then you can engage a little bit more deeply in those conversations that week. And like make appointments to go on like coffee dates and those types of things to get together. And then really want to make sure that you all know that it's okay to ask about suicide, right? If somebody is really struggling, to ask them, are you thinking about suicide? There is a misconception and a fear that asking about suicide is going to plant the seed. And that's not at all true. Like, we have this conversation with beginning clinicians all the time, right? Of like, if somebody comes in and they're experiencing depression and I ask them, like, is it going to be my fault? Like, no. Honestly, the conversations that I've had with folks who truly are either contemplating or have just suicide has started to become a thought, again, it's that invitation to open up space for conversation that is like a breath of fresh air, so that they hopefully will trust you, right, to be able to share their concerns. And don't hear me say that you need to ask about it and then know what to do with it, right? Like, know that you can reach out and get the support. You can call the National Suicide Hotline to get some support. You can, you know, if you, again, knowing your local area and what's available there, just know where to get them to someone who can do a full assessment. But asking, again, it's not going to increase somebody's risk, and it really is a way that you can help to save a life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a big misconception. But, and I mean, you have in every show notes, you know, the crisis number, you mm-hmm. know. So that is an easy way to get access or to share that with someone who is expressing this, or calling yourself and just asking, you know, what do I do in this situation? Because yeah, people aren't trained to, you know what to do with that information, but it's always okay to ask.
And honestly, if you engage in that conversation and somebody tells you like, yes, I've thought about it, but please don't tell anyone, go and like take it the step further. Help support them in getting a full assessment. I always tell people that, yeah, that person might be mad at you, but if they're alive to be mad at you, that's all that matters, right? Like, not all that matters, but that matters, that they're still alive. And then once someone heals and gets on the other side of suicidal ideation, they're going to come back and thank you. They're going to come back and thank you. That fear and that anger is coming from the place of not being okay. And so, you get the support you need to navigate like your feelings of, you know, them coming at you if they do. But know that, I don't know, I've never had a client who's had a hospital visit who's come back and been angry, for going to the hospital, right? Like, they're thankful to be alive and thankful that they got the help, because they'll start to feel better.
And they might be angry when they go there, because I've certainly had that experience.
Totally. Yeah. You don't want to go. It's not cute.
No, it sucks. Like, no one likes being in the hospital, period. And that is completely understandable. But you're right. After, people are like, wow, I'm so glad I got the help I needed. And now I'm in, you know, a higher level of care of what I need. And I want to live and I want to get better. So yeah. I think that's a really good example of showing that you really love and care about people.
Definitely.
In life.
Definitely.
Anyway, did we have anything else for engaging in conversation? Okay, good. Now we can talk about what to do the other 11 months of the year when it's not a mental health awareness month. So we talk about mental health awareness a lot in May, but it's also important every month. So this is great to be having these conversations, to be checking in on people and, you know, checking in on your own mental health every month of the year, not just in May. So what we recommend is reading books, listening to podcasts, learning more about mental health in general and whatever area that, you know, interests you or talks to you, speaks to you. So obviously if you're listening to this podcast, you're already kind of a step ahead. So listening, I also love audiobooks too. That's something that I've been doing, because I can go outside, go for a walk, and it's like a book that I want to read anyway that will help me to learn more about, you know, certain things. In my clinical work or just like in my personal life. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite book that you recommend, or like one or two?
Ooh.
I have one off the top of my head that I really like.
Yeah, say yours.
Okay, so I actually let my mom borrow it. I don't have it in my library right now, but have you heard of The Body Keeps the Score?
Mm, yep.
So that's a book about trauma and mm-hmm. how it manifests in the body. And it talks a lot about mindfulness and trauma treatment. Mm-hmm. And it's just super fascinating. So I really like that one. And I recommend that to, you know, people who have a significant trauma history and are having a lot of like health problems or are having trouble kind of moving forward. So mm-hmm. I feel like that is a really interesting read. So I recommend that one to a lot of people. Another one that I think I've recommended it this week is not what you would typically think of. So the Body Keeps the Score is kind of an educational read. Like, you're learning mm-hmm. more about trauma and, you know, body response and fight or flight and things like that. But this is actually an autobiography by Kay Jamison Redfield, I think her name is, An Unquiet Mind.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. I actually read it in grad school. So it's actually written by a psychologist who has bipolar disorder. And
I feel like you've told me about this book.
Yes, before. It's such a good book. It's actually, it's pretty short. I feel like it's not super long, but it is fascinating. And I feel like that was when I was learning about severe mental illness. That was one of the books that really helped me get a good picture of what it looks like, what it's like for people going through it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I was a naive grad student, I'd be like, why, you know, people with severe mental illness, like, why don't they just take their medication so they can be functioning in society? And I was like, oh my gosh, there's all these horrible side effects. Like, there are reasons why people just, you know, don't take their medication, don't want to. And so she does a beautiful job of explaining her experience with bipolar disorder and also how she went through finding the right treatment for her, you know, medication wise, getting support from others. And also she had a very successful professional career. So I think it gives hope to people too, that like, you can have a severe mental illness and still be really successful in life. And so I think it gives hope. It gives a good picture of what living with bipolar disorder is like. So I just really like those. And that's not really like a self-help kind of thing, but it's just like a really interesting read. And it kind of like, if you know someone with bipolar disorder, this might help you have a little bit more insight.
Yeah. So I have three that came to mind. There's clearly on my bookshelf, 9 bajillion books. Right. But the first one is Mindset by Carol Dweck, also a psychologist. So it's really great about fixed versus growth mindset, little tweaks that we can make in just how we talk to ourselves and how we view the world. So Mindset by Carol Dweck. The other one is called The Depression Cure. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Yeah, trying to find it on my bookshelf. But The Depression Cure, it's written by a psychologist also, and it's about their research. I want to say that it was a psychologist at Duke, but really robust research on some basic things that can impact depression and how we can work to cure it within ourselves. And then the third one that I would recommend is not written by a psychologist, but it's called Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. And that one is really good because so much of, at least the work that I do, and likely Kelly, this the work that you do, is about making the small tweaks over time, right? And like our habits can really, honestly, they can dictate the path of our day and the rhythms of our life. And so it just has really fantastic research and suggestions on making some adjustments with your habits to support your life.
Yeah, there's so many really great books out there. I feel like it's hard to narrow it down to.
Right, right.
And they're also, right, so they're in different arenas too. So helping with depression or making small changes that ultimately turn into big changes is something that we do often in therapy. So yep. Those are really great recommendations. So good places to start, you know, if you don't know where to start, there's, like I said, so many awesome options out there. So mentioning again, you know, making donations to mental health organizations. So you don't just have to do that in May. That can be whenever. So throughout the year, just kind of keeping them in mind, even when it's not Mental Health Awareness Month. And to actually, you know, participate in the events that are thrown. So, you know, like we're talking about like 5Ks or social events, or I feel like it's mostly 5Ks that I see. Like I see a lot of 5K walks just even around the city. Like I saw one yesterday. I know NAMI does one. I think it's yearly, and like the Alzheimer's Association often does one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're a runner or a walker or someone who likes to do those things, they are happening throughout the year. So just checking websites and seeing what your, you know, entry fee is going to, because those are donations to these organizations. Yep. And then let's see, to also thinking about, you know, beyond May, you know, really being intentional about how you spend your time and taking care of yourself, practicing self-care throughout the year, you know, not just when you are feeling high stress or when you're reminded in May that your mental health matters and is an essential important part of being a human. So it's funny because I think a lot of people that I work with are like, I have all these coping strategies, but you know, I only really use them when I'm like really low or when I'm really anxious. And I'm like, you know, it's great that you have them, but let's also use them when maybe you're not like at the worst of the worst, you know? Yeah. So it's good to be utilizing these things, especially, you know, things like mindfulness or like using movement, you know, even when you're not in a dark place. Yeah. So it's important to be intentional about how you're spending your time to take care of yourself. And that, you know, that goes beyond just like scrolling on your phone or, you know, watching Netflix. So I think of those as like passive things. So be active about your self-care. So think about what is going to recharge your battery and what's going to contribute to your health and well-being, and doing those things regularly throughout the year is really, really important. And they can be little things. They can be like sitting outside and drinking a cup of coffee with no distractions and just listening to the birds chirp and, you know, going for a walk without headphones and kind of doing things where you're completely immersed in the experience and can get the most out of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and talking about, right, the Atomic Habits book, our habits can be those self-care activities, right? So they can be infused into our daily rhythms and the fabric of our life. And what they do is keep us in more of that steady state. So if we get hit with a stressor, our spike up or down is decreased, right? And so that's the whole point of those coping. It's not just for when shit hits the fan.
Right, so. Exactly. Could not have said it better.
All right, so we've hit on why this shit matters, how you can engage with the month and throughout the year, how to start having conversations. And if you've been here a while, you know that we're all about connecting to resources and going to therapy. We're both therapists. We're biased, but therapy rocks, right? It's great. And so in the show notes, you can find the free quick start guide to how to find a therapist. So what happens is you fill out the little doobopper and right away it drops in your inbox. There's a worksheet that helps you think through the logistics of like what you're looking for in a therapist. Are you going to use insurance? And then it also like all kinds of different things to think through. And it gives you some prompting questions to prepare yourself for going to therapy. And there's a video that it's me telling you how to use the guide and how to find therapists on the different platforms, whether it's Psychology Today or just a general Google search, and all that good stuff. So you can always find that in the show notes, along with some basic crisis resources. It certainly isn't the full suite of them, but just wanting to give you a couple of really tangible things in the event that you need them to help reduce overwhelm. And oh, puppy. And then we will also put in a couple of those organizations that we talked about, National Alliance of Mental Illness, Mental Health America, and the American Psychological Association. So if you want to dig in, get some information on advocacy, the APA, American Psychological Association, has a lot of information on when we were talking about legislation. They've got a lot of really important information there. So if you're politically driven, or, you know, that is something that excites you, that would be a great website to go to for some information.
Yep. All great resources.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy Mental Health Awareness Month. Happy mental health all the time. And we got a lot of good shit coming at you this month.
It's going to be a really fun month for all of your listeners.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was another episode of Hot Takes.
Hot Takes.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Will you do me a quick favor? Since we're on the mission together to break the stigma of mental health, will you share this episode with a friend? Click the share button right there in your app and text it over to them. I appreciate you so much. And until next time, we'll talk soon.